Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're talking about the Mediterranean diet and its health benefits. And it's long been known that folks who follow a Mediterranean diet are healthier, they're less prone to degenerative diseases, they have less in the way of heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and neurodegenerative disease. But what is it about the Mediterranean diet that seems to be so beneficial? If we could figure that out, well, we might just bottle it and sell it. To some extent, that's what folks in the nutrition industry are trying to do, is isolate components that are part of successful traditional diets. So the components that we've identified today with our guest, Jolie Root, olive oil and fish oil. And what else can you say about the benefits from the studies that you shared with me before the show?
Well, there was a study that looked at a combination of fish oil and olive oil in rheumatoid arthritis patients. And what they found, just to cut right to the chase, was improvement in morning stiffness, in joint swelling, in tender joint counts, and even grip strength. So for people who have an issue with rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune inflammatory disorder in the joints that very often manifests most noticeably in the wrists and hands and fingers, a combination of fish oil and olive oil is beneficial for reducing the person's experience of pain and also their ability to use their hands. People with this condition wake up with their hands very stiff and sore and swollen in the morning hours in particular, and have trouble with activities of daily living, taking caps off of jars and opening bottles and things. And so this was interesting to me because it was a very early look at the wisdom of getting those fish-derived omega-3s, which we know benefit inflammation, and also olive oil, which also does, slightly different mechanisms, seemingly. But combining the two and having a relief, again, something that we legally are not supposed to talk about, pain, arthritis, but yet here it was in the research. And I was digging for it because, as you know, Carlson has now introduced a Greek olive oil with fish oil in it, which is a combination fish oil, olive oil.
Is that in the form of a pill or a liquid?
It's a liquid.
Oh, okay.
It's a liquid. It's called Olive Your Heart.
Whoa.
And it's actually an extra virgin olive oil from Terra Creta, which is a grove on the Isle of Crete. And it is delicious, and they've added Norwegian fish oil to it so that it is a high omega-9, omega-3 supplement that is not used for cooking, but is added at the end of cooking or used as a bread dip or as a component in a vinaigrette or a pasta dressing.
So and you can use
I think
in,
of
you
it
can
when
use
you,
this in
when
cooking.
You said
this
bottle.
This is not like the traditional, like when kids used to be given cod liver oil or something like that that has a aversive taste and you just kind of like held your nose and swallowed it.
Well, of course, in defense of Carlson, you know the fish oils are taste award winning and don't have that aversive taste, but. Yes, it's not that. It's olive oil, and it's meant to be used in the kitchen. It's meant to be brought to the table.
It's culinary. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a serving is a tablespoon, which gives you 6 grams of the oleic acid and 1,480 milligrams of EPA DHA with emphasis on DHA. So it really would be an excellent daily dose of omega-3, in the olive oil, which could be, as I said, whipped into a vinaigrette or an excellent bread dip for people that like a crusty bread dipped in olive oil with maybe some balsamic vinegar and some fresh herbs. And they made it in four flavors. It's lemon or basil or garlic or the plain. And when you said the supplement people are looking to put the Mediterranean diet in a bottle.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I think of when I think of this. So I did go pouring through literature looking for places where fish oil and olive oil had been used together, and there aren't that many other than just the bigger conversation of Mediterranean diet.
That is an innovative product. And what is the requisite amount? Did you say to get that amount you need a teaspoon or is it a tablespoon?
A tablespoon.
And I have an idea for how that might be incorporated in a dressing. You know, is that you actually sometimes put anchovies, and I know that this is not a strong fish flavor to the fish oil in there. It's molecularly distilled and it's very pure. But even if there's a scintilla of that, Caesar salad dressing, you know, you serve Caesar salad with anchovies. So maybe making sort of a Caesar salad dressing would be a way to you know, put that on your, you know, mix it with some of the ingredients that you use for a Caesar salad, which would be...
It would be perfect. But for hummus or for tabbouleh or for any of these Mediterranean-style recipes that don't actually heat the oil, this would just be stellar. And I've been to a couple of conferences where we actually went out. We were in New Orleans where there are lots of great bakeries on many different corners. So we went out every morning and we got a big fresh loaf of French crusty bread and we broke it into lots and lots and lots of pieces and made the bread dip at the table. And it was dietitians. It was a dietetic conference. And only the ones that were gluten intolerant didn't get to. I didn't have carrot sticks. If I'd had carrots and celery, everyone could have tried it. But they raved about it. So...
I got to hang out with you more at some of these conferences. They sound
yes.
In New Orleans. There's no place like New Orleans for a convention.
It is a fun place. It is a fun place. Although I've had fun. We've been to Stockholm. We've been a lot of the. You should come to some of the big omega 3 conferences.
Okay.
We have some beautiful venues.
I'm there.
Canary Islands last year. And
yes.
That
sounds great. Coming back to the arthritis question, you know, for a long time, and I've been in this field for a long time, as you mentioned earlier, both of us have, I've really been disappointed in the Arthritis Foundation. For so many years, they had a declaration on their homepage that there was no evidence that diet made a difference in arthritis. And this was just, you know, throwing down the gauntlet to nutritionists like ourselves who know that diet makes a huge difference in rheumatoid arthritis. Lo and behold, 2017, and this has apparently been the case in the last couple of years, there's been a sea change in their pronouncements. And there's a recognition by their Arthritis Foundation that maybe they're not as aggressive as we are in making nutritional recommendations, but on their homepage they talk about an anti-inflammatory diet for arthritis. So how is the Mediterranean diet keying into the concept of an anti-inflammatory diet? Can you explain that?
Well, I think quite well, because most of the foods that would be components of the Mediterranean diet as we defined it today are not foods that strongly promote inflammation. The foods that seem to be more promoters of inflammation are things like animal proteins from land-dwelling animals, so beef, veal, pork, the refined carbohydrates and processed foods. Sugar is pro-inflammatory, so that's a big problem in the Western diet with the heavy reliance on sugars and high fructose corn syrup beverages. But fish is anti-inflammatory in nature, and olive oil also is, and vegetables and fruits are. So nuts and seeds, which contain a great balance of monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, including the shorter chain omega-3, are anti-inflammatory. So many of the foods that are in the Mediterranean diet are foods that are associated with lower levels of chronic inflammation. The exception would probably be the dairy products, and if I had rheumatoid arthritis, I'd probably not be a big consumer of dairy products. But
perhaps also the nightshades, which are permitted on the Mediterranean diet for some, not all, but for some people,
the peppers
they're problematic.
Or the tomatoes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, they're agreed. And not everybody, but there are people who are sensitive to nightshades, mm-hmm. and that would bring up. I think about Alan Gaby when I say not everybody, because he used to talk a lot about elimination diets and how when people had strong symptoms, very often what they were sensitive to, their food sensitivities, were the things that they ate most frequently. So when he would work with someone that he suspected nightshade sensitivity, and they were heavy consumers of eggplant and tomato and peppers, and maybe even they were smokers, tobacco's a nightshade, he would have them give up the nightshades, and they would notice generally an improvement, an almost immediate improvement, and he would tell them, don't have them for 2 or 3 weeks, and then add one or two of them in and see what happens, and their symptoms would come screaming back.
Re-challenge, yeah.
Yes, right.
So, Jolie, we're going to pause here for a moment for a word from one of our sponsors, who I think you might be familiar with.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Okay, folks, thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to our discussion of the Mediterranean diet with Jolie Root. One of the studies that you sent me has to do with olive oil consumption and stroke incidents. Can you talk about that?
Yes. The idea was, this was the three-city study. They wanted to find out whether high consumption of olive oil or high plasma oleic acid, which would be a measurement of the high consumption of olive oil. Oleic acid is the fat in olive oil. And they wanted to see whether or not either the consumption itself or that biomarker of the consumption were linked with a lower incidence of stroke. And they did find that that was the case. And so if you compared those who never used olive oil to those with intensive use of olive oil, there was a pretty good reduction, something like 41%. And in one case, the people with the highest intake of, or the highest biological marker of the plasma, the blood level of oleic acid, had a 73% reduction in stroke risk compared to people with the lowest level of plasma oleic acid. So there was definitely a protective role that was found in people that were high consumers of olive oil.
This is a controversial area, but I think it's an area that we should touch upon if you're willing to go there. And that's the relationship between the Mediterranean diet and cancer. And what does the science say about protective effects of the components of the Mediterranean diet, not just fish oil and olive oil, which do have potentially anti-cancer effects, but also the polyphenols from the fresh fruits and vegetables and lots of fiber, and also the spices. I mean, there's many Mediterranean spices, rosemary and basil and thyme. That's a spice
turmeric.
Rich area. The turmeric as well, yeah.
Turmeric, garlic. There are so many components, and we couldn't leave tomatoes out of this conversation, because the lycopene association with prostate cancer is very strong.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of compounds that are chemopreventive, my term, and not my term, but a term I like to use because it's so descriptive. Because we think of chemotherapy when we're treating cancer, I think of chemoprevention about the components in nutrition that are associated with lower risk or even better tolerance of treatment for cancer.
Yeah.
And the Mediterranean diet is, in the broad terms, associated with less incidence of breast cancer, less incidence of prostate cancer, and those are the ones that most people are really worried about, although, you know, all cancers are scary and difficult to deal with if that becomes your diagnosis. But yes, I think that of all the diets we could talk about, the DASH diet or, you know, a low-fat diet or the many different traditional diets that there are around the world, I think Mediterranean diet shines when it comes to cancer prevention.
Well, absolutely. So to sum up, what's today's intelligent medicine call to action? First of all, there's the product, which you mentioned, and I have it here on my iPad, All Live Your Heart. It's kind of a play on words, All Live Your Heart. And it comes in different flavors, basil, lemon, garlic, and natural. And you can find it at carlsonlabs.com. And as well as a wide variety of great products that we've talked about here before, excellent quality fish oil. And your vitamin E is a product that I use exclusively with my patients because I don't want to use just alpha tocopherol vitamin E. You know, cheap generic vitamin E is just alpha tocopherol succinate, the dry E, or alpha tocopherol. And that's one of the reasons why I think vitamin E research has fallen short, because they're using the wrong vitamin E. There's been a spate of articles saying vitamin E doesn't really work, vitamin E might be harmful, but I think they're not testing vitamin E as it occurs in nature. We've actually done a podcast previously on the subject of vitamin E, you and I.
The vitamin E being a family of compounds, there are 8 of them, and very often, especially in the inexpensive supplements that are everywhere, it will be one of those 8 members, and not necessarily the right form, sometimes synthetic, which is half as active. So yes, Carlson is started as the vitamin E company and still leads, I think, in that area. And I wish vitamin E got more attention, but it's not the shiny new thing in nutrition conversation these days. That falls more to things like the curcumin from turmeric or other compounds.
Jolie, do you have a website of your own, and where can people find out about your radio program?
I have a blog. It is JolieBlogs, JolieBlogs.com. It's red wine, green tea, and dark chocolate, so if that tells you something about my feelings about some healthy things that are also fun, but JolieBlogs.com. And on the very, at the very top on the first page there, is the, on the right-hand side is me and information about the radio shows. Food for Thought, Friday mornings at 10 on WVNJ is where people can listen. There's a link to some podcasts of the show and lots of articles about the Mediterranean diet and how to apply it, how to, as you say, take action and get on board with it. So I invite people to go there and read up.
And one additional question for you, and we've never asked you this, but were your parents conscious of the fact that Jolie means pretty in French when they named you? And it's spelled the same way, J-O-L-I-E.
It is, and she was, and my mother.
It's an unusual name, but it's a nice name. Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't love it when I was a little girl, but once I grew up, I thought, oh, this is cool, and no one until Angelina Jolie came along.
Well, there you go. But isn't that a made-up name anyway? Right.
I think hers might be. My mother had a Cajun roommate in college whose name was Mona Jolie.
Oh, nice.
And my mom loved it, and my name is Jolie Marie.
Okay.
So, but yes, she was aware I think it also can be happy, depending upon the translation.
C'est joli. C'est joli is a very common French expression. That's nice. Mm-hmm. That's, you know. Okay. Well, on that note, let's conclude today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thank you very much, Jolie Root, for joining us today and explaining in detail the benefits of the Mediterranean diet. Please listen to Jolie's radio program as well on WVNJ out of New York, the very same station out of which I broadcast in the New York area, in addition to my syndication in other stations across the country. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thanks for joining us.